exclusive support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a generous grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, celebrating 60 years of strengthening community through support of the arts. My guest tonight is Michael Schaefer from Music in the Woods, and the title of the show is Chicken Soup for the Frostbit Soul. It goes on Saturday night at 7:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fairbanks. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me tonight.
Yeah, how fun. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. It's a rainy evening, perfect time to put another log on the fire and listen to some poetry and some stories, and invite you to see the whole show on Saturday there with the Music in the Woods.
Yeah, I hope people can come on out and check out the show. I did a similar show about 3 years ago out at Music in the Woods, and I approached Rebecca Dunn. I've got some new material, and I've got some guests coming along for the ride this time, so we'll pair up some humorous anecdotes and spoken word poetry with some fun little musical numbers.
So, will you turn that down a little bit? There we go. All right, they can hear me. I've got engineers tonight. Even this is great.
Mad skills.
I know.
This is legit.
It is legit here tonight at the FM studios. We've got the family engineers. It's great. So it's tonight. We're just you and I are here, yes. But the whole show,
right?
Has. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a lot of heavy hitters, a lot of names that, you know, if anyone that enjoys supporting local music, local theater, you're going to recognize a lot of these names. May I rattle off the roster here?
I know Emily Anderson's in it.
Yeah, Emily Anderson. Sadly, she's leaving town. She's leaving Fairbanks, but this will be one of her final.
If you're a Facebook friend of hers, you'll know that. So we're not breaking any news to anybody that doesn't. Yeah. So.
And she assures us that she'll be back regularly to perform. But
nice.
We wish her the best. She's going down to the lower 48 to make it big.
Yeah.
And she will. She is the next best thing.
I know.
Next big thing. And she will be performing there, playing piano for TJ Hovest. And he'll be covering a Peter Mulvey tune. We've got Alex Bengal opening the show, singing a Beatles classic. And I'll be backing him up with the do-do-do-do-do-do. And we've got Flynn Ledington. She'll be covering a Fleetwood Mac song, doing her best Stevie Nicks. And we've got Adele States singing a little Erykah Badu.
You might know her from the Palace Theater show. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we've got Brian and Stephanie Kramer, husband and wife power couple that are going to be singing a duet, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. So lots of fun.
And in between there, you do some slam poetry.
Right. Slam poetry, anecdotes, some humorous observations about living in Alaska. There's a couple political pieces. There's just some light fluff to help, especially if locals had if they've had a rough year, this is a nice escape, or if the summer was just all too brief and we're bracing for colder weather,
right.
This is a way to ease into the frostbite season, I'm hoping.
Right, because the name of the show is Chicken Soup for the Frostbit Soul, and that's a little takeoff on... was that a self-help book?
Yeah,
there was
a series of them. And I was chatting with Rebecca Dunn earlier tonight. We hope that people don't come expecting dovetailing on the successful literary series of vaguely Christian anecdotes and uplifting and buoyant self-help.
Oh, I've forgotten
it has
a little bit of those religious undertones.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, there are some pieces that have some... not so subtle religious undertones, overtones, maybe one could say.
Right.
But yeah, there's a piece in there called Silent Jesus that it's a what if of all those lost years about what Jesus was doing when he was a sophomore.
Oh, very apocryphal. Very apocryphal. Your newest book is called No Exit for Chickens, and I have it in front of me, and the cartoon that you have on the front is really fun.
Yes.
It does look like they're getting into a cockfight, actually.
Yeah, that's true. It's a take on Jean-Paul Sartre's No Exit. Takes place in hell. And I commissioned a former student of mine, Shayla Sackinger, who loves to do chicken art. And I said, can you paint me a picture of three chickens getting ready to duke it out in hell? And she's like, well, of course I can. And the poem itself, No Exit for Chickens, features one of my favorite Warner Brother cartoon characters, Foghorn Leghorn, and the widow chicken, the widow hen, pursuing him in this eternity where the bachelor always gets away.
Do you have that piece for us?
Let's see.
Let's hear the title piece from No Exit for Chickens.
As I'm finding the page here.
This is Michael Schaefer here on Alaska Live. He is a slam poet and author, and he has a show along with a bunch of friends. It's called Chicken Soup for the Frostbit Soul. It's part of the Music in the Woods series, and that's at Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fairbanks this Saturday night at 7:30.
So about midway through the show on Saturday, there's a trilogy of poems all inspired by my favorite Warner Brothers cartoon characters. The first one has Foghorn Leghorn. I'll read that in just a moment. And it's followed up with a poem about Pepe Le Pew and the elusive cat finally settling down. And as the chase finally ends and the courtship proceeds into marital status. And then the final one is a sestina for Michigan J. Frog, the frog that would burst into song.
Oh, yeah.
And I always wonder, you know, what provoked the frog to sing these ragtime tunes?
I had forgotten his name.
Yeah. Michigan J. Frog.
Yeah. Right.
And occasionally I think the WB network uses his icon or uses his likeness to promote their show. But yeah, there's those three cartoon poems in a row. So this is the first one, the title to the new book, No Exit for Chickens. The handsome cock crows, and again she wakes up crying. Her paltry tears greet another Warner Brothers sunrise, takes a moment to compose herself before the routine of her 6 a.m. stroll. A bedside tissue wipes away sadness. Glasses are handy, vision is failing, but she still looks as slender as she was at 17. So many times she's sauntered the breadth of this ridiculous barnyard in simplified and predictable claustrophobic acreage, something she swears is straight out of Sartre, only to be rejected again and again by his polite and elusive deep southern drawl. Supernatural forces stall the unrequited. She might have mourned her husband longer if he wasn't just so fine. In this rural part of forever, she's had time to sewn together a silken bonnet, a lighter shade of heaven that complements her small, myopic, cerulean eyes. And blue has always been his favorite color, but he's destined to torment, not to love or abide. So for now and for always, she must reluctantly settle to admire him from across wiry coops and white picket fences, taunting hound dogs on long but short leashes, evading ambitious chicken hawk minions, until he one day reconsiders and changes his mind. But if this is damnation perfect and eternal, he'll never know her as anything other than peculiar, persistent, funny and buoyant. The idea of togetherness still causes cartoonish contortions, and in a familiar hop-step retreat, flashing red plumage, the same shade as her blush, he'll spare her one more of his disposable chuckles, a wink and a bow, just like a true gentleman, compelling her to keep hoping and to propose one more time.
Michael Schaefer is here as part of Alaska Live, and that was a performance from No Exit for Chickens, the newest.
The title track.
Yeah. The title track.
There it is. And it's a more somber piece, I suppose. There's some lighter fare for the night.
It was sweet. I liked your use of the word myopic.
Yeah, there it is. I got to represent for the myopic demographic out there, myself included.
I'm wishing that I would have brought my glasses back to work, but I'm fine. You put the word myopic in there and I heard it. I don't need that glasses for that. Nor we need glasses to enjoy the show to the Unitarian Universalists. And boy, you're going to have a bunch of Fairbanks' finest musicians on stage with you, too, and performers.
Yes.
They're not, you know... These musicians are really good on stage.
Yeah,
too.
They can put some stank on it.
They'll
bring their own unique Fairbanks flair to some of these classics. Yeah.
Recently, I think I saw you on stage, Michael. The last time I saw you on stage was at the Midnight Sun Festival.
I think you
might have been one of the three Elvises.
I might have been all three, for all you know. No, I'm one third of the... we're tons of fun. We are the largest Elvis group in Alaska. And
there's three of you.
Yeah, there's three of us. Johnny Kohler and Michael Bork rounding out the group. And those two put together the idea, and I just kind of forced myself way in on the group. Like, hey, I'm a member too. Deal with it. And
I have an Elvis outfit. I got a wig. I got the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just my fascination with icons with the Southern drawl. You've got Foghorn Leghorn and Elvis Presley. So, yeah.
Attorney General.
Yeah.
Shall go unnamed.
Yes.
But
there are some unnamed political references in the show. And people will be able to connect the dots.
Excellent. We'll leave that to the show too.
Yeah.
And the show, it's this Music in the Woods has been going on for several seasons now. It starts in fall and kind of goes throughout the winter.
Yeah.
And it's the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yes.
And it's really it's a wide variety of entertainment.
Right.
And you start off the season.
Yeah, I'm honored to be the guy that kicks it off. And we'll have it's just kind of storytelling and humor and some poignant pieces as well. And we hope to provide a nice little 90-minute escape for people on Saturday night.
Love it. And that's about when the sun is going down these days, too. And so, man, the Unitarian Universalist Church, that's where my husband and I got married. And
oh,
it just has the biggest windows.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful space. Yep. And it just feels good to be in there.
Yeah, it'll be a great way to watch the sun go down. And mm-hmm. It'll be one of my light cues. And
yeah.
We can
it'll
play
be
off
a light
of that.
Cue. Yes.
Yeah, long shadows and bright lights. And yeah, it should be fun.
In the bio you sent me and in the info you sent me about the show, you said the opening piece is about a raccoon, but not about just any raccoon.
No.
Not about any garbage raccoon.
No.
It's about the raccoon that made itself famous.
Yes.
And I followed this story. So tell us
wonderful.
The story.
I did.
I was so wrapped up in it.
Yeah, I can't just limit it to nationwide. It made global headlines. So this female raccoon that we still are not sure why, but scaled one of the taller buildings in St. Paul, Minnesota in June.
Yeah.
So if you were anywhere and it was the first week of June, the negative media that was out there stopped, tapped their brakes for a while and focused on this story that could have gone sour at any moment. But the raccoon made it all the way to the top of the skyscraper and was greeted by a very capable and compassionate Fish and Parks professional and was taken to a discreet, undisclosed location out in the rural part of Minnesota where she could be left alone to frolic once again.
She definitely made it on tons of videos on iPhones and smartphones, and because she was outside people's windows, she would take refuge in the windowsills.
Right, take a breather
on her way up. People tried to give her some food and water, and they tried to get her a map. They were trying to get her up on the top of the building with some food. They're like, we know raccoons love cat food. You know, come on up.
Yeah. And it went on until like 2 a.m. And people were staying up just waiting for the next Facebook feed or the next tweet. Like, what's going to happen?
It was a raccoon cam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I forgot that that was in June, but you're right. Yeah. I was all wrapped up in that story because I think that NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, their offices were on looking this raccoon's
right, directly across
fate.
The street.
Yeah.
And they adopted her or dubbed her the NPR raccoons, which I don't know if the raccoon minded that or not.
She's public radio famous now.
There you go.
She's NPR famous.
Could I share that poem with you?
Please do. Yeah. We've talked about the backstory of right. the raccoon poem.
So this is the opening number for Saturday night. And again, we'll have one of our guest performers. We'll have Alex Bengal open the show with, if you could imagine which Beatles song we might use to open up that show, you'd be right.
Right.
And so we'll pair that Rocky Raccoon with this. It's one of the newer poems that I have. And it's also one of the more... it's kind of a clumsy title, but the full title is, I have to use my cheat sheet here, The Undying Spirit of Junko Tabai Inhabits a Minnesota Raccoon. So just a little backstory, because she's only mentioned in the title. Junko Tabai was the first woman to scale Mount Everest.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Great.
So here is this this newer poem. Let's see here. It's a motive as old as Why Did the Chicken? At 444 Cedar Street is where our plot starts to thicken. At the UBS Tower in downtown St. Paul, ascending a skyscraper 25 stories tall, trembling towards twilight, an exhausted raccoon is inspiring the masses on this 12th of June. She's crawled past all of the Wall Street e-traders, past Susan in sales, and a few cubicles of J-daters, and Andy Hansen, Lars Johansson, and Olivia Olson all waved and offered thoughts and prayers that this raccoon might be saved. Surpassing any YouTube zeitgeist gimmick, she keeps climbing past all the people patronymic, past Alan Jorgensen finishing paperwork on Fifth, past Emma McDonald, who works the night shift. The raccoon might even have tried to wave back if she had a free paw as she clings to the crack between one floor of bankers and the next floor's HR. Supporters and reporters muse and kibitz from NPR. Spectators, now like ants, gather round Cedar as a rooftop ranger preps a safe spot to feed her. But she still has a handful of flights to go, staying up past our bedtime because we just have to know. She inches past a litter of Lutherans filling the Facebook status from Suite 2102, updating Addis, refreshing for the moment. The raccoon makes it up. Her penthouse plateful of cat food is set out for supper. And when she made it to the top of UBS, you could not mask her relief from the stress. So what was her motive for bounding up 25 floors? Was it environmental encroachment? Her diminishing outdoors? Is the caged beast a metaphor for how we all feel? Is nature's plight symbolic? Is the struggle for real? No. It's something that our species, yes, too many have gone through it. The jackrabbits and the squirrels said she just couldn't do it. So with the help of CNN, she now has nationwide proof that a raccoon can reach that ridiculous roof. She Tenzing Norgay'd that vertical assault while stressing Deborah Messing, but that really wasn't her fault. And she didn't do it for the gophers or for a male raccoon or the like, because a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bike. She conquered that monster just because it was there, and for the incredible view and the brisk prairie air. Yes, there are abusive tweeters, flat earthers, and global warming deniers, colluders and polluters, and opioid suppliers. The Beyonce and Jay-Z album just dropped? You've buried the lead! And that's all just the first wall on my Facebook feed. And the new Star Wars movie has many a flaw, but our world also has so much beauty and majesty and awe. And that raccoon's ambition is greater than Alex's or Mike's. She was just spotted down the road on the rooftop of Pike's.
Yes. Oh, Michael Schaefer is my guest here on Alaska Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. And that was... a really good use of Tenzing Norgay as the
as a verb.
As a verb.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
it represents.
Oh man.
Nepal's in the house.
That was really good. And the name of that poem one more time, because we got to use her name.
Sure. And we'll have programs at the door there. I think, Rebecca was kind enough to, she's running them off as we speak, I think. The Undying Spirit of Junko Tabai and Habits of Minnesota Raccoon. So you might need an extra piece of paper, just a fold out for that title.
Oh, man. If you want to hear that paired with a Beatles song.
Yeah. Haven't you always?
Yes.
I think somewhere deep in everyone's soul, there's an itching for a Beatles song to be paired up with silly Alaskan poetry, referencing Minnesota raccoons.
And you did such a good job of making up Minnesota names too, Michael.
Oh, those names are real, I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. They are recognizing themselves going, oh,
there's a whole clan of Jorgensens out there going, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the heat works down there at the UVS, you know.
Oh, this is really fun staying up late. It is a school night for you. I bet there are some high school kids that are being tortured by their parents' public radio habit right now going, is that Mr. Schaefer? Yeah.
It is.
Because your day job is...
I work over at West Valley High School. I teach sophomores and seniors, and we cover poetry every full moon. Nice. We stop whatever we're doing, and we do a session called Lunatic Poetry. And so, the next full moon, I think it's going to be this Monday. So
we've got
that to look forward to, or to avoid, you know, if you want to stay home sick, kids.
Mr. Schaefer is going to make you write some poetry or inspire you. One of the two.
We'll be waiting for them when they come back on Tuesday.
Uh-huh. Right. What is the trick or key or magic to inspiring sophomores and seniors at West Valley to write poetry?
Well, I acknowledge up front that many of them have not yet had a positive reaction with poetry.
Right.
And so each full moon, and I tell them, we plot it out. We say there's only 4 full moons in the semester. So you can do this, and we'll pepper it out so it's once a month. And my challenge is we're always going to do 10. It's a nice even 10, and they'll be thought-provoking, silly, maybe a little edgy. We'll discuss the poems, and worst-case scenario, out of a class of 30 students, there's only 10 poems. So there's you can dodge a bullet and just not get called upon to read. You're in good shape until the next full moon. But some of the students really get into it, and they look forward to it, and I see their eyes brighten when they say, oh, it's a full moon today, right, poetry? And so...
So were some of them sophomores of yours, and now they're seniors, and they get to look forward to the full moon poetry again?
Yes, and some of my students like my class so much, they take it over again. So.
What?
Those are the ones with the poor attendance. They just, got to take it again.
Oh, well.
We've got four new full moons for you, Sonny.
They come around on the dot.
There you go.
Yeah, you just cannot stop a full moon train.
That's right.
Oh, man. I'm sure some of those kids are out there listening, and so poetry is probably not the only thing that you are inspiring them to do. Do you inspire them to write essays alike too?
Yeah, we just had the seniors turn in their first essay that was inspired by the Epic of Gilgamesh. They had to write an essay based on a friendship of their choosing, whether it was a personal friendship or a friendship from pop culture or from literature. And they had to argue if the friendship bond was stronger than, weaker than, or similar to Gilgamesh and Enkidu.
Nice. When do you find time to, between the lesson planning and the reading of the essays and the poetry, when do you find time to write? You've written at least 2 books now of Licorice and Lunatics, and now your latest for No Exit for Chickens. When do you find time to write?
Sometimes, the muse strikes at odd hours. I wake up bolt upright at 2 a.m. I'm like, well, I've learned to respect the muse and just get out of bed and type the thoughts down, even if it's just a rough draft. And that way I can sleep better. And the notes, however strange or cryptic they might be, they're waiting for me the next morning when I get up. But she's the muse has been more considerate these last couple of months and has inspired me on more reasonable hours.
Excellent.
And I think it's important that, if you're going to teach, fill in the blank, that you can walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And It's sometimes a vulnerable spot for me to share poetry that I've written and used for competition pieces, and poetry that's very close to me, because it might not always connect with, you know, an aloof teenager. And it always means a lot to me when I can, when it's hard to read that stoic face and know if I'm connecting with them or if it's just boring them to the core. Because sometimes it's the latter.
Does a teacher right across the hall from you sometimes, like, your class is laughing too much. Are you getting anything done? Because I bet sometimes you inspire them to write funny poetry also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Sophomore boys are fascinated with poop. So I get lots of poop poems.
But you know what? I don't know if that ever changes for boys.
It's a phase. It's about a 30-year phase. Okay. I'm just coming out of mine myself, so.
Oh, is there another poem that you'd like to go out on here, Darren?
Sure. Let's see.
All right.
So here's one that I've enjoyed doing over the years, but it didn't make the cut for the last Music in the Woods, and I wanted to include it this go round. It's a Star Wars poem.
Yeah, I'm a Star Wars fan.
Good. Oh.
So we went to see the Star Wars poem that you, or the Star Wars movie that you referenced in your last one, the raccoon one. I mean, the Star Wars show was nothing about raccoons.
Right. but this one, it's an older poem that I've kind of reworked and shuffled around. And it is called Clowns and Jedi. And so it references some famous clowns and some Star Wars characters that that might be recognized by a good demographic out there, because you've got very intelligent and good-looking listeners out there. So
absolutely.
Yeah, we hope to see a good number of them at the show on Saturday.
This is Michael Schaefer. He heads up the show on Saturday at Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
So here we go. I've got all these emotions for you. Each one of them is a chubby clown who's been forced to get into a small circus car. Shakes is riding shotgun and cussing a blue streak because that freak Clarabelle is at the wheel. These rosy nose gestures represent frustration and impatience respectively. And Ronald McDonald is hunger and desire and greed, all wrapped up in a bright red pair of size 15s. And my mischief is embodied by Sideshow Bob and Bozo. And amidst all these face-painted guys is a helium-huffing Pennywise. He represents fear. And over here's Rudy Giuliani. Well, the best that I can figure, he's just a clown. And these emotions are all cramming into this miniaturized Yugo whipping cookies around the center circus ring at 5 miles per hour. And the power steering has just conked out, and my sensibilities are these thin skin balloons pregnant with confetti and bursting apart, pop, pop, popping to the dashboard beat of Barracuda by Heart. And I am not always scatterbrained like this, of course. It's amazing, like the Force. With the focus of Luke Skywalker doing one-armed handstands, and Luke was not showing off because he only had an audience of two, a malfunctioning droid and a bossy Muppet. It's amazing because after all of this, you doubt whether you float in my boat? Girl, you have got me hovering like Skywalker's X-Wing 10 feet off the Dagobah swamp. I love you in all the ways Han Solo was afraid to say. And I know that carbon freeze was way back in the day, but that was Empire and not Star Wars. And that was 1980, not the late 70s. And these may seem like the tiniest of trifles, but they're not. Like, Dick Sargent was still Darren, but he wasn't Dick York. In the way that the name Mindy is incomplete without Mork. And like a Halo 3 Needler beats a KFC Spork. Switching gears for your ears into Latin, it seems so random, but this negates de gustibus nonis disputandum. How could you see the sequel and not be moved? I am the new and improved version of new and improved. Now that's how powerful Empire was for me. So when the Lucasfilm cronies yell cut, and the old Jedi Master relaxes his wrinkled green fist, and the dude inside of R2-D2 pops the top for a breath of fresh air, and Frank Oz takes his hand out of Yoda's butt, and he grabs an egg salad sandwich, and the X-Wing is still hovering in midair? That's not the Force keeping it there. Ask the true Star Wars geeks. They've already checked. That's not some advanced CGI or some green screen effect. That's love, baby. That's my chubbiest emotional circus clown, and he's not gonna set the X-Wing down until you love me back.
Oh, man. There were a lot of clowns, a lot of Star Wars yeah. in there. That is all really intertwined.
It's a mess. It's a hot mess.
It is a hot mess in that clown car. Oh, Rudy Giuliani made it in yeah. there.
Whew. Yeah, I'll be hearing from him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He's a lawyer, you know?
Yes, yes. I don't know how worried I should be.
One of the best.
Yeah, well, he's one of them. He's one of the most recent, I guess.
Oh, wow. Well, if you want to hear that poem and so much more, there'll be music set to some of this
yeah,
poetry.
There'll be incidental music. Yep. There'll be some tunes that you'll recognize,
nice.
Some show tunes. Some Peter Mulvey is a musician that has come to Fairbanks.
He's coming back. This next month.
Yeah, and so we're going to kind of prep the Fairbanks audience for that arrival
nice.
And cover one of his tunes. And yeah, so you've got a duet, a number of solos, and a couple different musical genres represented there and peppered throughout the night. So
it's all kicking off the Music in the Woods series, and that goes on at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fairbanks. And it is Saturday at 7:30. And Michael Schaefer, thank you so much
Lori,
for being
thank you
my
so
guest.
Much. This was a thrill. I really enjoyed
really
it.
This was really fun. All right. We'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thank you so
7:30.
Much.
7:30. Exclusive support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a generous grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, celebrating 60 years of strengthening community through support of the arts.